We're exploring the rise of esports, competitive video games on the collegiate level here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Ken. Thanks for being here. Collegiate sports marketing firm Learfield says the collegiate esports landscape is taking shape and competitive gaming will, or has already, become a core element of the college experience. But the NCAA, it said in 2019 it would not govern collegiate esports, at least not for now. And then you usher in a pandemic and esports kept buzzing through it all. Does your college offer esports? What do you want to see at the collegiate level? Are you a high schooler hoping to land a scholarship? 800-642-1234. Carolyn Henry is Senior Associate Commissioner and the Primary Esports Administrator for the Mountain West Conference. Carolyn, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning, and thank you for having me.
Good morning. You've had to play some esports in order to know what you are administering. And, you know, I'm of the Atari Pong generation, Pac-Man. And so esports are a different world. Things have obviously changed. When you started playing esports, what did you find with the content of these games?
So one of the things I did, and I'm of your same generation in terms of the video games that I played, one of the things I did was to, you know, go on to the site of, you know, our publisher to take a look at the games, and they're very high paced. It's different than your normal Ms. Pac-Man where you're playing against the machine, basically, but there are competitions set up, team competitions. As it relates to the content, what I usually do is, and for reference, I'm not a great esports player, but I do like to go in to see how the different characters are depicted. That helps to govern what games we play. So, for example, one of our games that we play at the Mountain West Conference is Rocket League. And essentially, that's a soccer game in a car. Mm-hmm. So we look at the content of the games. We have discussions with our institutional esports administrators to determine what games we're going to play. But it's quite fast when you get a chance to play. Obviously, if I was a little bit better, it probably would be even faster.
How do you select these games? I mean, what about first-person shooter games or the language that is used in these games?
So our institutions actually really weigh in on what games they play. And they go through a process on campus as it relates to how characters are depicted, how realistic are the first-person shooter games. So the games that we play, I mentioned Rocket League, isn't a shooter game at all. There are some games that don't involve any type of shooting. And that's, you know, kind of how we pick those. Again, we rely heavily on our institutions. There are some games that our institutions elect not to play, and we defer to them on that level as well.
I picture a student in a dorm room or isolated in their room and just gaming all day, also going to classes. But how isolating are esports, or is this the wrong depiction?
I think that's the wrong depiction. I mean, what I see on our campuses are esport clubs, the clubs putting together teams to participate in team competition. If you look at Riot Games and League of Legends, that is a team competition, as well as Overwatch team competitions. And then you could go online and actually watch the team competition. What's interesting is that if you're watching it live, and say, for example, you have a 5 or 6 player game that you're playing, and you can walk behind each one of the players, they each have specific roles within that game, and they have to work as a team in order to be successful.
We're talking with Carolyn Henry, who is a Senior Associate Commissioner and the Primary Esports Administrator for the Mountain West Athletic Conference. You can join in. What would you like to know about collegiate esports, where it is headed? Are you a high school gamer applying to colleges, looking for a program with esports? 800-642-1234 for your perspective. So where is the structure in all of this? I mean, there's the National Association of Collegiate Esports, which you have the member organizations, but how do you make varsity programs and who's playing who?
Yeah, one of the things that's challenging is there's no overarching structure that's similar to the NCAA. Each of the game developers have rights to the games that are being played. There are different structures, and you mentioned NACE in terms of helping to try to organize groups of players. What we do at the Mountain West Conference is, you know, we take all of our institutions that wish to play esports, which is all of our football playing institutions, all 12 of them. And we created a conference structure whereby there are certain eligibility requirements. When we're looking at the numbers of individuals playing, again, eligibility requirements, you have to meet progress toward degree requirements to set up some sort of structure. Each esport club within the Mountain West has to have what I call an adult non-student administrator so that the upper administration knows what's going on with esports on the campuses. But that's one of the more challenging things as it relates to esports, as it is the governing body. And that's because each developer has their own set of rules and they own the property of their games. It's intellectual property, much different than conventional sports where the NCAA can govern basketball. No one has the rights to basketball, for example.
Do you think should the NCAA get involved? What could help govern esports in rulemaking and recruitment and eligibility?
I think that it's challenging. It would be challenging right now for the NCAA, not that it would be insurmountable. And that is because of the nature of esports in that there are entities that own the games that are being played. And so there would have to be a lot of discussion and agreements amongst and between the NCAA and the publishers as it relates to some overarching governance rules for those particular games. And again, each of the games have their own separate and distinct rules.
How much do you have the ear of game developers or these publishers on how they craft these games for you to choose to have them? And how much give and take is there? How much leverage?
Really, the game developers determine the content of their games. We can provide feedback as individual conferences, and I'll use Riot Games as an example because I think they're doing a really good job of trying to understand the college landscape and trying to get feedback. And they've created what they call the Scholastic Association of America, and it's an advisory board to Riot Games as it relates to collegiate esports. And there are colleges and representatives from colleges and high schools on this board. I'm a member of that board as well. And we talk about how we can integrate what we're doing on our campuses and at our conferences with what Riot Games is doing. And they're very interested in trying to coordinate with colleges and universities to make this the best opportunity for students as possible.
I mean, the more they coordinate, the more they collaborate, the more their game gets out there, the more opportunity there is, I would imagine, for their company.
Yes.
Let's take on a caller now. Tom is joining us from Eau Claire. Hi, Tom. Go ahead.
Hi. So I watch a lot of Overwatch League and professional gaming. So do you guys stream on Twitch? Is that like the normal way of viewing the collegiate sports? I haven't really watched many of those. So
thank you so much for that question, Tom. Go ahead, Carolyn.
Yeah, there are a number of different platforms. From a Mountain West perspective, we do stream on Twitch. And if you check the front page, a lot of times they will tell you, you know, what colleges and conferences are streaming. We also on our conference webpage have our Twitch information, but that's our primary platform that we use. But over the last several years, other platforms have developed.
You know, Tom brings up the point of watching the professional level. So after the college level, what happens with like the professional and you know, do these esports students then, you know, go on to become professionals?
Yes, some have an opportunity to be professionals after college. Some are professionals before college. I think, you know, with collegiate esports, it gives students an opportunity also to be seen. And it's not dissimilar from conventional sports in that you take a basketball or a football student athlete, you know, women's basketball student athlete, and they are representing their institution, they're seen, and the professional leagues are aware of them. It's not dissimilar from that.
Carolyn Henry leads the Mountain West Conference in the area of governance and legal affairs, also serving as primary administrator of esports, where we're picking her brain this morning. Do you have esports at your college or university? How is it organized? How is it structured? Do you think the NCAA should have an active role in Division I esports? Join in 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Carolyn Henry here on the Ideas Network. Competitive video games at the collegiate level. We're tracing the rise of esports on college campuses on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The National Association of Collegiate Esports says it has over 170 member colleges and universities offering varsity esports programs with more than $16 million in scholarships and aid up for grabs. What do you think gaming has to do with college? Where does it fit in? 800-642-1234. Carolyn Henry, primary esports administrator for the Mountain West Conference, with us for about 9 more minutes. Let's look at those scholarships. $16 million plus in scholarship aid. How do scholarships work now? And what about recruitment?
Yeah, so the scholarship offerings will depend on institutions. I think it's a great opportunity for esports students in high school to have some of their education paid for. It varies from institution to institution. Some institutions within the Mountain West Conference offer scholarships for esports. A lot of times they are scholarships that are game specific. So if it's a specific game, our caller previously mentioned Overwatch. So maybe if it's Overwatch, it could be to participate in Overwatch at the institution. But I just view this as another opportunity for a student to have some of his or her education paid for and then play esports, which is something that they enjoy.
You said his or her, and I don't know that in my mind I see many women doing esports. How do you diversify your teams, make them more inclusive?
So what we've done in the Mountain West, and this is something that our institutions are working on, and it's an initiative to have more inclusivity with esports. And so I'll take a Boise State, which is within the Mountain West. And one of the things they do is they have like an open call for esports participants, and they try to encourage women and ethnic minorities to participate in esports at the institution. They don't have to compete officially, but they at least want to meet those individuals who are playing. Boise State has a really good Overwatch team, or they have in the past year. Their Overwatch captain was actually a female, and that showed other women that females also are gamers. If you look at, and I've read a number of studies, the number of women who play video games are about probably 48%, but when you get to the college level, that number dwindles. And so I think what we need to do as administrators is to show students, female students, ethnic minority students, the opportunities that are available. The more organized an institution's program is, the more likely they are to be diverse. And so we continue to work through that because I would like to see more women gamers. On the other side, one of the things that the Mountain West has done, or at least that we did when we had in-person competition, is to make sure that our casters or sportcasters, we call them casters, also are diverse. In the last two competitions, we've had one or two casters who were female and or ethnic minority. So just trying to show gamers that you don't have to look a certain way in order to play.
How do your students, how do your collegiate students train in esports? What is the time commitment? How do they hone their skills in these games?
So the students practice just like you would practice a conventional sport. The time varies, each evening, whether or not they're practicing. They also have to balance their classwork, but they practice their tactics when they're practicing with their teammates, and a lot of just technical issues that they work on within those games. But it's, again, not dissimilar from conventional sports. In order to be good at it, you have to practice, and these individuals practice with their teams consistently.
We're talking with Carolyn Henry, Senior Associate Commissioner and the Primary Esports Administrator for the Mountain West Conference. What games would you like to see played at a college level? How do you participate in esports now, perhaps in the future? Join in at 800-642-1234. I also have the sense that these students would be a lot of computer science majors. What are some of their backgrounds as they also pursue a degree?
Yeah, and a lot of them are STEM students, but some are not. But I think that regardless of what their majors are, they have one thing in common, and that's playing the video games. But we are seeing a lot of STEM students. I looked at some of the majors of some of our players within the Mountain West, and while the majority of them were the science, you know, technology, engineering, and math majors, there were some who were liberal arts majors as well, some who had interest in like broadcasting and things like that. But primarily, I would say the STEM students are, at least within our conference, are the ones who are participating.
What would you tell other conferences who haven't taken the steps that you have in the Mountain West? Because there's, you know, I feel like there are different degrees of interest and also commitment here from the athletic conferences.
Yeah, I think you're accurate there. You know, I would encourage other conferences to consider esports within the conference. Again, it's another opportunity for students as it relates to their education. It's competition. I think it can, you know, really help promote what the conferences are doing. At the end of the day, we have colleges and universities, and this is an educational setting, and it's another opportunity to provide educational funding for students.
You have, as you mentioned, Boise State, you have the University of Utah, both among the top 10 universities for varsity esports. What makes a really great esports program or team?
So, and we do have Boise State, we have Utah State, but not the University.
Oh, you don't have, I'm sorry. Thank you.
That's okay. That's because they were in our conference years ago. What makes a good esport program? I think the commitment from the institution, from the top. And so at Boise State, the president of the university supports their esports program. They put, you know, revenue or funding into the esports program. And then the organization of the esport program. Those are all things that help from an institutional perspective. And not thinking that you need a tremendous amount of money to get your esport program started. If you take Chris Haskell at Boise State, he's done a great job of building the program up from, you know, the grassroots and then up. And again, it doesn't take a lot of initial funding to create your program, but it does take some imagination and some creativity. And I think that's kind of what esports is about as well.
What about the pandemic? You know, as we saw traditional sports temporarily shut down at the start, esports continued. What impact has the pandemic had on this area?
As it relates to in-person events, which we also conduct, we haven't had as a conference in-person events, but one of the things that esports has done throughout the pandemic, and one of the things that we did as a conference during the early days of the pandemic, was to conduct still team competition, and the participants played from where they were. And one of the things that did was to keep each of our students connected to their institution. I think during the pandemic, when everyone was, you know, at home and not with their teammates, not with, you know, folks on their institution's campuses, they felt somewhat isolated. And by having that team competition, it kept our esports students connected to one another and connected to their institutions.
You know, broadband is still something that we're really struggling with here in Wisconsin, getting broadband all over the place. And surely, you know, college campuses don't have as much of an issue with bandwidth problems. But, you know, that is something, you know, for access, if you will, in leading up to the collegiate level, access is concerning there for people who don't have those speeds, that high-speed internet.
Yeah, and you know, you're right in terms of college campuses, and whenever a collegiate conference is conducting an event, we have the bandwidth to do that. One of the things that we'll talk about in an upcoming meeting is what our high schools are doing, what are some of the needs of the high schools that are now starting to play esports. And so we'll explore that and have discussions about what can be done to make sure that when you're playing at the high school level, that you have as a team those things that you need.
Carolyn, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Carolyn Henry is Senior Associate Commissioner and Primary Esports Administrator for the Mountain West Conference. Just ahead, we talk with another candidate running to be Milwaukee's next mayor as part of a series of conversations we hope to have with all the candidates on the primary ballot. What questions would you like to ask these candidates? 800-642-1234. News update is next on the Ideas Network.